Happy Sabbath, everybody. And for those I'm seeing for the first time this year, Happy New Year. It's good to see you all here. Lucy, unfortunately, cannot make it at this time. She's recovering. She had both her feet operated on, and she's not in a position where she can walk too far at this given point in time. But she asked to be remembered by you. And she also thanks those who were praying for her too. She appreciates that, and she knows that she's doing so well because of that. You know, we're coming to the end of this particular... I say this particular because there's a few weeks of prayers that are cropping up all over the place. But this particular 10 days of prayer. And yet, you know, it's interesting. We're coming through there, and I'm on Facebook, and the number of people that I know scattered over Australia and scattered up north and down south saying, it's raining, amen. And then they're saying, but I don't want to jinx this. And which tells me that, you know, in each different group that I've been talking with, there's been prayers for rain and it's been great. But I think pretty much most of Australia has been praying for that rain. So... Even the atheists have been praying for our rain. Some of those reporters, which in my mind are the lowest form of humanity, they were the ones saying we ought to pray as well. And when you hear them say it, you know that everybody's really worried. Now, people pray, and you're going to find this very interesting, and yet so many people are really unsure of their prayers, or should I say maybe their ability to pray. Have you thought of that? You remember the first time you were asked to pray? I bet you didn't pray. So, yeah. And so and our prayer life is checkered. It's kind of suited to the individual who does the praying. I mean, who taught any of you people how to pray? Who taught? It wasn't, oh yeah, the scriptures. So yeah, that's always a good answer. But there are different, you know, we did Nehemiah and Ezra, and there's prayer in there. And then we go to Daniel, we're doing Daniel at the moment, and there's a prayer in there. And so many people say, here's a prayer method, there's a prayer method. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, you know. But I want to talk about, our prayer today, all right? And the question that sometimes goes through people's mind, does prayer work? Oh, am I touching on a sore point here? Yeah. All right. Well, that's what I want to talk about. You know, there are concords, you know, and there are concords, right? And there's crop dusters. Some people pray like a concord jet. You know the type, smooth, sleek, high and mighty. Their words echo in the clouds and send sonic booms throughout the heavens. And some people pray like crop dusters. They aren't flashy, they fly low, they seem to cover the same ground a lot. And some mornings it's tough to get the old engine cranked up. And I think probably if we're truthful, most of us are like that. Most of our prayer lives could, well, use a tune-up. Some prayer lives lack consistency. They're either a desert or an oasis, you know, long, long, arid, dry spells interrupted by brief plunges into the waters of communication. They go days or weeks without consistent prayer, and then they hear a sermon, read a book, experience a tragedy, something that leads them to prayer. Then they dive in. They submerge themselves in prayer and live refreshed and renewed, but as the journey continues, the prayers don't. Now, others need sincerity. Their prayers are a bit hollow. They are memorized and rigid, more of a habit than real. And though they are daily, they are dull. Still others lack honesty. They honestly wonder if prayer makes a difference. Why on earth would God in heaven want to talk to me? If God knows all, who am I to tell him anything? And if God controls all, who am I to do anything? if you struggle with prayer, I've got just the guy for you. We just read about him in the scriptures. That's the guy I want to talk about, right? He doesn't have calluses on his knees. He's not too holy to be you reminder of how far you need to go in prayer. In fact, he's just the opposite. He's a fellow crop duster. He's a parent with a sick son in need of a miracle. The father's prayer isn't much, but the answer is. And the result reminds us that the power is not in the prayer, it's in the one who hears it. And this guy's prayer came out of desperation. His son, his only son, was demon-possessed. Not only did the demon make him deaf and mute, but it made him take fits, and it often threw him into fire and water to try and kill him. I don't know how you folk would have been if you had a child in this position. I think probably absolutely defeated. Imagine the pain of the father. Other dads could watch their children grow and mature. He could only watch his suffer. While others were teaching their sons an occupation, he was just trying to keep his son alive. Now, I hope you're still in Mark, because I'm going to read some of those verses again, just to make emphasis. Now, looking at Mark 9, 17 and verse 18 as well. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." What a challenge. What a challenge. Imagine not being able to leave your child alone for a moment. Who knew when the next attack would come? The father had to remain on call 24 hours a day. He was desperate and tired, and his prayer reflected this. And often, verse 22, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." That's his prayer. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Listen to that prayer. Does it sound courageous? Does it sound confident? Does it sound strong? Hardly. One word would have made a lot of difference in that prayer. You know what that word was that he said? The one word that should have made a difference? What if instead of saying if, what if he said since? Since you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But that is not what he said. And he said if. And this implies doubt. Doubt. It's as if the man was saying, this one's probably out of your league, but if you can. This is a classic crop duster appeal. More meek than mighty, more like a crippled lamb coming to a shepherd than a proud lion roaring through the forest. If his prayer sounds like yours, don't be discouraged, for that's where prayer begins. That's where prayer begins. It begins as a yearning, ordinary people staring at Mount Everest. No pretense, no boasting, no posturing, just prayer. Feeble prayer, but prayer nonetheless. You know, we are tempted to wait to pray until we know how to pray. And since we'd rather not pray than pray poorly, we don't pray at all, or we pray infrequently. We are waiting to pray until we know how to pray. Well, I'm telling you, it's a good thing that this man didn't make the same mistake. In verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He wasn't much of a prayer, was he? And his wasn't much of a prayer. He even admits, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Almost a contradiction in terms. But when you think of it, this prayer is not, this prayer is not designed for a worship manual, is it? No psalm will result from these words. His words were simple, no incantation, no chant, just plain simple. But Jesus responded. He responded not to the eloquence of the man, but to the pain of the man. Jesus had many reasons for disregarding this man's request. For one thing, He was just returning from the mountain, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration. That's where this is in the storyline. He's coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. While there, his face had changed, his clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning, and a roaring radiance had poured from him. The burdens of earth were replaced with the splendor of heaven. Moses and Elijah came, and angels encouraged. Jesus was lifted above the horizon of the planet. He was transfigured. The journey up was exhilarating, but the journey down was disheartening. Look at the chaos that greets him as he returns. Verse 14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. The disciples and the religious leaders are arguing. The crowd of bystanders, they're gawking. A boy who had suffered all his life was on public display, and a father who came to help for help is despondent, wondering why no one can help. No wonder Jesus says, O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? Never has the difference between heaven and earth been so stark. Never has the realm of prayer been so poor. Where is the faith in the picture? The disciples have failed. The scribes are amused. The demon is victorious and the father is desolate, desperate. You'd be hard-pressed to find a needle of belief in that haystack. Sometimes our lives are a poor realm for prayer. Sometimes we're beset by problems and surrounded by the quarrels of this life. Yet out of this turmoil comes our timid voice, if you can do anything for me. Does prayer make a difference? Let Mark answer that question. Let's read again verses 25 to 27. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit came out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now, this troubled the disciples. As soon as they got away from the crowds, they asked Jesus, why couldn't we force the evil spirit out? And his answer, verse 29, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And it's at this point we really should be saying, what prayer? I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? What prayer? What prayer made the difference? Was it the prayer of the apostles? There's no hint of a prayer there. It must have been the prayer of the scribes then, mustn't it? They certainly weren't praying. Maybe they went to the temple and interceded. Well, we know they didn't move. They were too busy rebuking and arguing. They didn't do it. Then it must have been the people. Perhaps they had a prayer session for the boy. Nope. The people didn't pray. They never even bent a knee. Then what prayer led Jesus to cast out the demon? And you know there's only one prayer, isn't there, in that whole story? Only one prayer. The prayer of the Father. It's the honest prayer of a hurting man. And since God is moved more by our hurt than our eloquence, he responded. And that's what fathers do. That's what our father does. That's what what fathers do. That's exactly what Jim Redmond did. His son Derek, a 26-year-old Englishman, was favoured to win the 400-metre race at the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games. Halfway through the semi-final race, a fiery pain burned through Derek's right leg. He crumpled to the track with a torn hamstring. As the medical attendants approached him, Derek Raymond struggled to his feet. He began hopping, pushing away the coaches in a crazed attempt to finish that race. When he reached the home stretch, a big man pushed through the crowd. He was wearing a T-shirt that read, "Have you hugged your child today?" This man was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. "You don't have to do this," he told his son. "Yes, I do," Derek replied. "Well then," said Jim, "we're going to finish this together." And they did. Jim wrapped Derek's arm around his shoulder and helped him hobble to the finishing line. fighting off security men, the son's head sometimes buried in his father's shoulder, they stayed in Derek's lane to the end. The crowd clapped, then stood, then cheered. And then they wept as the father and son finished the race. What made the father do it? What made the father do it? What made the father leave the stands to meet his son on the track? Was it the strength of the child? No, it was the pain of the child. His son was hurt and fighting to complete the race, so the father came to help him finish. You know, God does that, doesn't he? We can't finish the race by ourselves. God does the same. God, in the form of Jesus, did come to help us finish the race. And God does answer our prayers. Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the prayer of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. So I encourage you, as you go about your daily walk, to keep up and strengthen your connection with our Lord. Our prayers do make a difference. Amen. Okay, I'll try to keep that short to give people time to come forward. Fernand, you were leading out in the 10 days of prayer. Would you like to give us some insight on how that went, please?
Thank you, Pastor Neil. Well, as you know, as a little church, we met together for the past 10 days. And those of us who were there felt truly blessed. It was an incredible experience because every night in every reading, there was a testimony. A testimony about the power of God. A testimony of answered prayers. These testimonies really moved us, reminded us, you know, the kind of God we serve is alive. He's not dead. He does answer prayers, and he longs to answer our prayers too. Okay? And the whole thing was about the Holy Spirit. And one thing we came to be reminded of is the fact that if you exclude the Holy Spirit in your prayer, then it's vain. Because he's the one who can transform us, who can change us and mold us into the character of Christ. But sometimes we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the devil's tool to keep us away from being transformed into Christ. So we recognize. So I would urge you, church, as individual in your prayer, remember, you know, claim that promise found in Luke 11, verse 13. What does it say? If you, being evil as you are, can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he longs to pour a greater measure of his Spirit upon us. And that has been happening this week, and we've had prayers answered already. Isn't incredible? Middle of the night, I got up. Actually, I could stand here all day now. I got to be careful. Got up and had a smile on my face. You know why? It was raining. I had the sound of rain, and the wind was blowing through the window. And I said, interesting, Lord. Here we are, people all over Australia, even the world, I believe, been praying for us for rain. At the end of our 10-day session, what happens? God opens the heavens. Oh, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. No, no, no. As God was just longing to do that for us. And so we just praise God. And I've got to be careful. I said, I don't want to say too much. But I would encourage you. I say, you know, spend time with God, you know, in your own time. And keep praying. Keep interceding. Because God has great plans for this church. He really does. But it will not happen without the power of prayer. Okay? And I want to call forward. Actually, Wojtek, right where you are, can you stand up and just share briefly with us what difference the 10 days have made in your own spiritual walk with God this past few days? Thank you, Wojtek.
Going through
Thank you, Wojtek. Thank you. Yes, so I would encourage us here to meet up, you know, in the prayer meeting, I believe on Tuesday night, Peter runs it at 6:30. And as we said also, as Roger reminded us, you know, in your homes every night at 6:30, 7 o'clock, you know, take time out with God. You know, just switch off that TV. You know, set anything off. Just spend time with God and see how God works. Okay, my friend Harry, would you care to come and share with us how God has been working the past few days in our lives? Thank you.
Ten days of prayer. What did he do for us? As a group, we were there. We spoke. We had certain people that we prayed for, certain events to pray for. As you know, that we've already seen one of them answered, and that's the rain. It's gone right down through the eastern seaboard of Australia. There's other prayers that we've prayed for. We prayed for our next-door neighbours, and they've noted that there is improvement in that household, which is a blessing. And hopefully on Wednesday we have another blessing from next door that they come and visit us for our morning chat, cuppa and chat. As we also prayed for our leaders, Donald Trump, who was on the verge of creating World War III, and he pulled the pin on that one as well. So that has been stopped. There are only just two of our prayers that we asked for, but out of those two, there was out of those 10 days, sorry, there was at least one prayer answered daily. And all the people that we prayed for, I do believe, will have their answer of prayer, if not, had their prayers answered already. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. It's interesting, usually, you know, prayer, God says, yes, no, I wait. But somehow this time God said, I'm going to answer all of them. You know? So we just got to hang in there and keep praying. And Tanji, I'd like to ask you to come forward and share with us briefly what difference the 10 days have done to your spiritual life. Thank you.
Key word being briefly. So I did pray about what I wanted to say, or what the Lord rather wanted me to say. And I won't go off on a tangi or tangent. I'll just rather keep to what I felt to put down. The Lord tells us to pray with confidence and joy and expectation. I tried to follow that for many years, but was very disappointed because I felt like God had abandoned me, had no room in his kingdom for me. My own family had abandoned me, so why not God? Whenever I prayed, he never answered my prayers. As simple as they were, following the three basic steps to prayer, to ask each new day for forgiveness and cleansing, Acts 3:19, tell the Lord what our cares are, 1 Peter 5:7, and thank God and praise him, John 3:16. The theme for the last 10 days of prayer has been seeking God's spirit. Sorry, for a very strong and determined woman on marshmallow inside. I've learnt so much about the Holy Spirit, how to pray in the Spirit, victory in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit prays for us and helps us with our prayers. That was the most important one for me, found in Romans 8:26. I don't know about you, but there are times I'm praying and I find myself drifting off about thinking about tasks needing to be completed that day, conversations had yesterday. And it's reassuring to know that I can claim this scripture in Romans and ask for the Holy Spirit to help me get back on track and help me pray. The last 10 days has been many prayers have been put forward for our community, government, friends and family, and we have seen many answered prayers. For me personally, I've received victory over a long-standing personal battle, the desire to suicide. The only thing stopping me was knowing that it was a sin and therefore fear of the afterlife. I so saw no point in my existence. But the Lord showed me his great love for me. Amen. I feel the song very fitting. I'm a new creature, a new creation. I'd like to leave with you a scripture in Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. We are going to continue on in prayer via phone, chain prayer. If you would like to be part of that list, please see me after the service today and I'll put you on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanji, for sharing with us. Yes, we were all deeply moved and touched the past 10 days. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's only the beginning of the journey. I praise God that we, you know, God impressed our minds as his children to start the day with him, the year with him. And my pledge to God, yes, Lord, I can't wait for the days to go by because I just want to spend more time with you on my knees, more time with you in the Word. And because I know God's Spirit is working, I shared quickly an illustration with a little group. I said, you know, most of us, you know, we are like little minis, you see, running around. That's the amount of Holy Spirit we've got in our lives. And God longs for us to be like Ferraris. He wants to fill his Spirit upon us. He really does. But we have to be sincere about it. You know, we have to put aside all our addictions, all our sins with God's help, so God can really pour his Spirit upon us. So that is my wish for all of us this year. That God has great plans for this church, as I said. He really does this year. But it will not happen unless we meet together and pray as a group. God bless.
Tanji's experience reminded me of two things. One was the son, a little 9-year-old boy of a pastor, quite reverently, was found one evening by his bed. And as his father walked past the door, he was going A, B, C, D in a position of prayer. And his father thought, that doesn't sound good, you know, it sounds disrespectful. And he went in there and he said to his son, are you praying? He said, yeah. He said, well, all I'm hearing is the alphabet. And the boy said, well, I don't know what to say, so I'm putting the letters out there and God will put the words together for me. So, yeah, you know, sometimes we don't know what to say, but the Lord knows exactly what it is that's in our heart. And the other thing too, and Joseph was a very prayerful boy. He was loved of God. God had great plans for him. But the number of things that befell him, I mean, I bet you when he prayed about being the leader over his family, falling into a pit or being tossed into a pit was probably not what he thought was one of God's plans. Certainly it fitted in with God's plan. And also when he was maligned by Potiphar's wife and was thrown into jail, and he was in there for quite a while, and I'm pretty sure he would have been praying every day. I guess what I'm saying, Tanji, is sometimes when we don't know, we don't think our prayers are being answered, they really are. It's just that God's got long-range plans, but they're certainly still there. We just don't see them at the beginning. We see them in retrospect. I hate to use this pun, 2020 vision is really good in when we're looking back in hindsight of what God has done for us. And he does answer prayers. And sometimes he answers with no's. I remember Garth Brooks with a song, Thank God for Our Unanswered Prayer. He wanted to marry his childhood sweetheart, who ended up being not the kind of woman you want to be married to at a later date. And he'd met somebody else and had beautiful children, and he said, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. Did God not answer his prayer? Oh, no, I think he said, you're not getting that one. I got a better one. You know what I mean? So God is always there. But remember, he can only respond to you if you communicate to him through the Spirit. I thought I'd say that. Let us pray pretty much like the man in the Scriptures did. Let us, was it 499? What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's take everything to him in prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you that we have the option, the opportunity that you make every time available for us to be able to speak with you at any time. We don't have to go through any man. We don't have to speak with any individual. You've opened up the way through Jesus' death on the cross that we have open access to you. Father, we thank you for that. May we never forget it, and may we always remember that you love us. You love us so much that you set the plan of salvation in action. All we have to do is claim it, and to claim it